Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I'm very grateful that you chose to be with me for this podcast on October 23rd, 2022. And we're going to be looking at relationships. They are difficult, to say the least. And so much must be sacrificed for the sake of relationship. And I want to talk a little bit about it because I get emails. I had four in the last 2 weeks just on this subject alone. And it kind of surprised me. I don't know what's going on out there. I'm probably too isolated to know. But it seems that there is trouble a-brewing out there. I think this is a very interesting time in our lives because we are questioning government. We are questioning judgments of people in government. We are being told what we can and cannot do, the whole abortion issue with the Supreme Court. I think young people are starting to wake up a little bit to the corruption of the United States government and what it's all about. And then we have the climate problem, people freaking out about the nuclear war that we're just on the verge of right now. All of these things give the millennials and the Gen Xers and all of them a kind of feeling of insecurity, wouldn't you say? And I kind of feel that insecurity leaks into why do anything? Why even try to do anything? It's all going to blow up anyway. And, of course, they blame the boomers, and I can't say they're wrong. I don't think my generation did very much to help humankind. I don't think they did anything at all to help humankind, actually, in the bigger picture. It was all about money and me, money and me, money and me. So with all this being said, relationships are kind of a dubious, nebulous kind of endeavor that people think they should do. It's interesting because your DNA is wanting you to reproduce. That's what DNA does. It's a big part of it, that pounding that we have inside of us to have a family, circle the wagons, make for protection of our life and limbs and our way of living. We just get so crazy about it, this family thing and all of that. And it's DNA. There is nothing more powerful in a human being than raw DNA. Raw DNA just does two things. It makes for the need for survival, of course. And then the other part is sex, to reproduce. So you have those two things going on. It makes us a ruthless species, to say the least. And so we have a great deal of difficulty learning how to live in this world and with this world and the people that are in it who are all doing the same thing, many who are not much capable of their own survival. I was reading an article the other day on the web about mental illness and how 90% of the American public is concerned about their mental illness, and they should be because we are mentally ill, and a lot of that has to do with the way we live our life and what we think of as the precepts and concepts of the American way of life, which means we get everything we want and we do anything we can to get whatever we want, that kind of deal. So it gets really, really complicated. So let's go into the first question. I hope to be able to help. And remember, these are the things I'm going to share are my insights, and they should not be presumed as the last word. Not that anything I ever say to you should be presumed as the last word. But I want you to look at it. I'm going to use your own logic, your own reasoning to try to explain this. The other method I would typically use, let's say at a workshop or at a retreat, would be totally different, or in counseling. That would be totally different. And I'm not going to do that on air. So here we go. how do I enter into a relationship when I am so confused about myself? And this comes from Jane, and she does not tell me where she lives, and so that's fine. Jane, it's so true what you say. You're confused about yourself. That is a powerful statement, and I understand it emphatically. I do. And if you don't understand yourself, if you don't understand your makeup, if you don't understand your genetics, if you don't understand your biology, you know, everything is against us in relationship, Jane. Everything. The person you are when you meet a suitor, someone that you think you could live with and make babies with and all of that other grand stuff, is not going to be the same person that you are 10, 15 years from now. We change every 7 years. Our bodies change. And so when you start to look at the meaning of your life and the meaning of a relationship, it's kind of a dubious thing because you have to remember, oh, yeah, I remember I love this person. Oh, yeah, I remember what we were going to do. Oh, yeah, I remember this, that, and the other. It's all about what we were, and as we change due to chemistry, genetics, circumstances and conditions, how we all act and react from those things, and not really know why we're acting and reacting from those things because our chemistry is changing. We start looking at the person we were supposed to love or want to be with or whatever, and we find that we are more involved in the commitment of it. We're more involved in the whole idea of the obligation of it than we are in the love of it. The love of it has changed. It was passion and emotion, and now it's something else. It's something like loyalty and hopefully maybe some sense of continuity with the relationship, taking care of it for the sake of survival. That's the way most people look at it, and I understand all that. So you really got to understand the first thing, you hit the nail on the head. You really did, Jane, when you said you don't have a relationship with yourself. You have to understand your own relationship with you. What kind of person are you? And what do you do to set up your moral premise for whatever it is that you're thinking, saying, and doing? How do you come to this thing called love? How did you love? Now, I've had women and men in session work be very honest with me. And they will say things like, women will do this notoriously. I love him. He's a good provider and looks like he could be a good provider. And his family looks like they are good people. And so if I had a baby with him, I would probably have a good child and he would provide for me. Now, do you hear the intent behind all of that? Do you hear what is really being said? He's being auditioned for his ability to provide and his genetics so as to produce a child that wouldn't embarrass the mother or would be someone that they think they could be proud of. Now, the man, they look at a woman in the form of, well, she can cook, she looks good, she's hot, and that's about it. She can manage the family, manage the money. I'll go out and earn the money, and she can manage everything. She's a good manager, I think she'd be. And that's as far as it goes. So we're talking about biology and basic human survival. And that's what relationships are based on. After a while, this wears off. After every 7 years and we start changing, our body starts changing, and we start looking at the person that we're married to or live with in a different way. And as you get closer to that time when you know you're going to be old and won't want to work or can't work or whatever, now it really gets important, and we got to look for a guy that has some money. Men look for, what do they call it, a nurse with a purse, someone who will take care of them and has money. That's all we're thinking of, and that's survival. And I understand all that. So how do I enter into a relationship, you ask, Jane? You have to first find the relationship with yourself. And if you don't find that, if you don't understand the nature of that and go beyond the fear of your own survival, you won't make a very good partner or mate in any given situation. You have to be honest and open. You have to be forthright. You have to understand the nature of your body and what you're going to live from. Most people aren't going to transcend their bodies and move into authentic love, a real spiritual practice of moving into love. Not at all. That what they are looking for, what they're looking to do is just get by. You know what I said earlier, and I'm not going to reiterate that. But if you understand the nature of yourself and how insecure you are, what makes you insecure, the state of your human heart, and how important it is, what you know, to you, and what it disseminates in through your thoughts, like making you feel not like you're not enough, or you're too good, or that you should be afraid of death, or you need someone to take care of you when you get old and all of that. If you understand your human heart and what it will pounce on you with, what it will impulse you to do, then you can assess whether or not you want to continue living in the human body or whether or not you want to transcend. By transcend, I mean move beyond those impulses and maybe come into a state of consciousness. Yes, that would be an amazing thing for you or any of you to do at any given time in your life. But the chances of that, quite frankly, Jane, aren't very high, because most people, by the time they get to 6 years old, they're pretty much cooked and done. And then when they get to about 12 or 13, they have matured as far as they're going to go in their emotionality, and their mental constraints are definitely going to be there. The fear will be all around that. In fact, we develop a psychology and an emotionality based in fear. So we will have to understand that that's what we're going to contend with, our fears. We will want to find someone or something to alleviate all of our fears. That's what a relationship really is all about, or to share the burden of our fears, and that's as far as it goes. And if you go into an authentic spiritual practice, then those things aren't considerations. You will work on yourself. You will learn what you said, how to live with yourself, how to live with the state of your own body and the mental constraints and limits that are there, and learn how to transcend them, how to go beyond them through consciousness. You will learn about the need for kindness, and that is a very big thing, kindness, very, very big. But kindness for the sake of, let's say, coming from sympathy isn't going to be enough. Kindness for the sake of being treated kindly isn't going to be enough. You have to genuinely be a conscious, considerate, kind, compassionate state of consciousness, or you're just going to find that your relationship efforts are going to be just horrendous and very disappointing. And most people I know are very disappointed in their relationships because they didn't work on themselves. It had nothing to do with the person they're with. It has to do with the person they are. And most people don't want to look at that, not ever. I'm out of here. Hope that helped. Jane, thank you for your kind comments about Aspire. I deeply appreciate it, and please forgive me. Namaste. All right, that's it for the week. If you have a question, greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful weekend. And of course, as always, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.